Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Just before we stepped into church, I was telling my wife, I think the devil is trying to obstruct my teaching today. And it's biblical. Paul said when I dared to go and preach in a certain city, so the devil dared to stop me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because when I woke up, I had a little situation, and of course I did not agree that I should not feel fine. And afterwards, my wife's car started doing some kind of, you know, and I had to help her. And when they were coming, the car again stopped. I said, I have to now stop with them. You know? And we left it there and said, let's enter my room and come. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I was telling her, I think the devil is trying to make an attempt to stop this sermon. So I want you all to pay close attention. People who are outside should come inside. I don't want any busybody activity. Well, where are the people that are supposed to be seated here? I'm seeing empty seats. Go and tell them to come inside. That's the only language I want to understand. Nobody should be outside. So today's theme is tagged to be set ablaze. So set ablaze. As you can see it here, set ablaze. Just give us a moment of phone fasting. All right, and pay close attention. So what I mean is avoid your phones for a while and just set your gaze on the word. So what does it mean to be set ablaze? What does it mean to be set ablaze? Of course, you know, in spiritual context, what it means to be ablaze is on fire. To be on fire for a cause, and that cause is God. It is a state of intense fervor, unwavering passion, and deep commitment that impacts every dimension of our lives and the lives of others. More like a fervent devotion for the Lord. Fervent devotion for the Lord. Now, can we all just bow our heads? The world is full of distractions, so many distractions. Bow your heads and pray in the Spirit for a moment. Let's pray in the Spirit. Or in your understanding, and say, Lord, speak to me especially this morning. Go ahead and pray. Lord, speak to me specially. In the area of my need, speak to me specially. Give me a word that will change my life forever. The Bible says He sent His word and healed their diseases. Give me a word that will solve that particular problem and set me on fire. Our Father, all of heaven's was Your name. Sing louder. Let this praise erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching air. The sound of heaven touching air. Our Father, all of heaven rose Your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching air. The sound of heaven touching air. Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Thank you, Holy Spirit. King Jesus, You're the name we lift on high. Your glory shaking all the earth and sky. Revival, we wanna see Your kingdom here. We wanna see Your kingdom here. Thank You, Holy Spirit. All right, so we'll start with Jeremiah 20:9. Can we read together? Jeremiah 20:9. Want to read? Let's read in one accord. 1, 2, everyone, let's read. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. All right. Do we have this in the TPT? So we compare. If we can't, it's fine. But if we can, very fast. Just indicate. All right. Now, you see, right? He gave me the Amplifier rendition. If I say I will not remember him or speak of his name anymore, then my heart becomes a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot enjoy it, nor contain it any longer. When I saw the scripture the first time years ago, I know originally this scripture applies to the prophetic, even though it can apply for every Christian, every child of God, because we're a prophetic people. Are we together? We are prophetic by nature, as children of God. The Bible said we are kings and what? Prophet and priest. That means God can speak through every child of God. Are we together? He can speak through anybody. But now this is a man who is called into the office of a prophet. And he wanted to just be a person that is not troublesome. Because a lot of times, generally, when you stand for truth, you have a lot of enemies. But you see, Jeremiah was somebody who the Lord began to speak to the people through. This is the same man that said to us in the very first chapter, God speaking to him, he said, because he was wondering if he was really called or his call was genuine because he was a child. The Bible said, before I bore you in your mother's womb, I had what? Known. And that was God speaking. Before I bore you in your mother's womb, I had known you to be a prophet. Are we together? So Jeremiah was doubting his call in the very first chapter of the Bible. And of course, the response of God shows that he is a prophet, right? I called you to be a what? A prophet. So that's clear that he's a prophet. Now, as he keeps on speaking to the people for God as a prophet, what happens is that most of them, you know, at some point began to be annoyed. They were annoyed of Prophet Jeremiah. Because anytime he speaks truth. And so people cannot contain truth. So they got angry at him. A lot of people were angry at him. And he had told himself and promised himself he would not speak the word of the Lord again. But he couldn't help it because he's a prophet. Are people getting what I'm trying to say? If I say I will not what? Remember him or speak his name anymore. Then my heart, anytime he said I'm not going to do this again, I want to be nice with people and kind with people, you know, and just be an ordinary human being like everybody. He said he would not be able to do that. Why? That his heart becomes a burning fire, right? Shut up. It's more like there's a situation in his heart. More like a burning fire shut up in his bones. He said, and I'm weary of enduring and holding it in. I cannot enjoy it nor contain it any longer. Like I said, the first time I saw that, I thought of the prophetic. Sometimes you see us, we talk as if we have a lot of physical backings. You know, someone called my mom, who knows my mom, and said they should tell me to stop talking against the government recently. That people are saying I should stop. They're just passing a message. And I really got so angry. But she's my mom, so I could not show the anger. And I said, give the person my number. Let him call me and tell me what the government or whatever the people close to the government are saying. I said, they are only cowards. And the highest they can do is dare to kill me if they can. But they can't kill me. And if they are trying to go legalistic, you know, nothing should be done. But the worst is, leave our state. And I'll gladly leave the state. But I said, outside that, nobody can do anything. Hallelujah. And I'm repeating, if they are hearing, they are cowards. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see, as a prophet, sometimes you want to be a nice human being. I really don't think I will ever dare to talk about anything happening in this country if I was not a prophet, because I would have been feeling ordinary like everybody. But you see, when God calls you to be a prophet, you really cannot help yourself. The word of God burns in your heart beyond you. Are you listening to me? And you just have to say it. It doesn't matter who likes you or hates you. You just have to say it. Are you listening to me? All right? So, that applies here. But you see, generally, when you stay so much on God's word, what happens is that it begins to burn in your heart. And when it burns in your heart, there must be a corresponding reaction. You will see yourself acting out as the word is burning on your inside. In other words, we can trace spiritual lukewarmness when we see people who are not acting rightly in church. Acting rightly for the Lord. If you cannot evangelize, the word of God is not burning on your inside. Now, I'm speaking generally now. If you are not doing the right things, you are not behaving well in the house of the Lord, not just in the house of the Lord, you are not behaving well in time. By time, I mean outside church. You act differently there. You come to church and you act differently. Something is not right on your inside. The word of God is not burning in your heart. Are you listening to me tonight? All right? Are you here tonight? If you are sleeping in church right now, the word of God is not burning in your heart. Also, because I see some of you closing your eyes. All right? Tell your neighbor, it's not burning if you are sleeping. Hit that neighbor, everybody. It's not burning. I mean, they tell you something in church, you do your mind, it's not burning. You know, you can lead worship and even lead prayer and the word of God is not burning in your heart. Because it comes to a point, if you are not careful, you can be full of spiritual activity. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. You like spiritual activities, but you are not a genuine Christian. You like to lead special numbers. You like to lead prayer. You like to coordinate things in church. But the word of God is not burning in your heart. More like what Paul was telling on Timothy, that they have a form of godliness. Just a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It applies deeply to people who practice the law, but we can use it here. Are we together? More like a form of godliness containing nothing as regards God's power. God's power is not working on your inside, but you have a form. I mean, you are in church, the word of God is going forth, and you are wondering when it will be praise session you want to dance. The word of God is not born in your heart. And that's why most times people like that, when they go outside in time, they begin to suffer the consequences of these things. You see a child of God in church, sickness wipe them, sweep them off their feet. Before you know, one little problem comes, they begin to cry. What happened? I can't pay my rent. And they are crying and crying and crying. You see, the word of God was never born in your heart. Are you listening to me? A small situation, they begin to cry. You see some of them crying. What happened? Somebody told me that my head is like that. And that's why you are crying. You see, the word of God was never alive in their heart. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. You see some people sit and they say, let's evangelize is by 9 o'clock. And they go to open their shop by 9 o'clock. Or let's say evangelize is by 8 o'clock. They own the shop. They now go and open their shop that time and say, I will not make customers. You see, they don't know God. Such a people. They don't be wondering, Pastor, are you sure you know what you're saying? I mean, you may even go to hell. Because you don't know the Lord. You see, why the Lord makes you a boss is so that you have his time. If you want to follow activities in this world, nobody will serve God. Even this morning, you would have said, let me rest. Because some people walk 9 hours every day. They would have said, let me take Sundays and rest. Do you know people are like that? Now, we're not trying to insult them. They are acting as regards to the level of knowledge they have. In fact, some of them would tell you that God is in the heart. Have you heard people talk like that? They'll tell you like that. But you have seen genuine reason why you have to serve God. Why you have to come to church. But they don't have the knowledge you have. This sufficient knowledge. So they'll tell you God is in the heart. I can just stream online. And I'm still, in fact, there's one person I used to know. He would tell me, okay, if you don't have preparation for people like God, why are you doing live streaming? Is it not because people like us that cannot come should join online? So you really have to understand this. There are a lot of pointers to prove that the word of God is not burning in your heart. When they talk to you in church and you have to reply, it pains you. You went home and cried. That they told you that you are not behaving well. And why are you crying? They said it in the presence of people that you claim respect you. He said it in the presence of people that call me ma and sa in church. He disrespected me. In fact, the girl I like, she was there. And he told me, you, this is the last time I'm giving. If you try this rubbish again, say, hey. The thing would have not paid you if the lady was not there. But she was there. Or the guy was not there. And you go back home. And you are crying. Then the foolish ones will now be telling God to have mercy on the leader. You know, I always used to tell leaders, I say, sometimes you go and cry and you're saying, God, forgive them. Or they don't know what they are doing. The prayer is reversed. God will be saying, I forgive you. You don't know what you're praying. Sometimes it's like that. Are you listening to me? Very important. You think the proof that you love God is a... That's just word of it. You're praying in the spirit to set yourself, you know, building up your most holy faith. You don't prove that you know God by just doing... No. It said, for as many as are led by the Spirit, Romans 8:14, he said, they are the sons of God. If God cannot lead you, he is not your father. In fact, Samuel the prophet said, for obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. If you want to follow, as I'm saying these things, if you logically begin to calculate, you'll be wondering, but I need to. If you want to follow the activities in this world, you really don't have time for God. But you see, the balance is this. Everybody should have a particular place they serve the Lord in church, in the local church. You cannot do two jobs in the local church. Else now your business will be what? Suffering. You can't say you're a choir member and you're in media at the same time. No, have one particular thing you are doing for the Lord in church. So that you can have time serving the Lord and doing your other stuff. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? Very important. I always tell students, I said if you are in different fellowships on campus, you collect fellowship certificates, you will not collect degree certificates at the end. See, you are doing the right thing wrongly. Are you listening to me? Because you are not called to come and be in every fellowship. In fact, the reason why you came to school is to study primarily. But you see, God can take advantage of your schooling to influence people. That doesn't mean that you should now neglect your what? Schooling. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's why you have to read. Because I've heard people those days, and I've been telling them those days on campus to abstain themselves from people like that. Especially those that will come and say, you see, I have not even seen my certificate since I graduated. But see who I am today. Who are you today? A man that has not collected a certificate. Is that a testimony? Why did you not collect a certificate? Probably you failed. Or you had spillovers. You are not saying, who are you? You have one car. You have, so what then? What then? Why? Collect the certificate. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it what? It's an instruction the Lord gives us. Whatever. So don't be following people that talk all of those rubbish. You can be a revivalist on campus, but you see, don't have that kind of mentality, funny mentality that will say, when I'm, you know, all those stories, be running away from those stories. They say somebody was writing an exam, this thing just appeared on the wall. He sat there writing them. God showed him the answer on the wall. He sat there writing them. You now see, you know my pain, when they say those testimonies, the thing that pains me the more, and when the people who don't like book now start saying, that's the pain. Satan is setting you up. You don't like to read, and it is you that testimony is touching. We are in trouble. Because you know read now, you'll be hoping for such a testimony. Your own, what you'll be seeing is blackboard. I told you a testimony. I went those days, I went to the campus to pray, and I saw, was it prayer of evangelism? I was passing the second camp. It's not today, I'm praying there. It's been a long time. I saw some people shouting, GP, rise! GP, rise! I couldn't help it. I went down, hid myself somewhere. I started laughing. You know, I didn't want people to know I was laughing for prayer. So I had to hide myself somewhere. I laughed. GP, rise. And I said, GP, rise. Now rise, Abinagari. If you don't read, GP will not rise. I know, see, you know, the most humiliating thing on campus is that you are somebody who is known to be a brother. You know, those days, we have more brothers than pastors on campus. A bro, serious with the things of God. And they now say, he has spill. Two spill, he could not graduate. It's so humiliating. See, just be wise. The testimony that will make sense to a student is not that the dead came back to life. Did you get what I just said? That's generally for life. The testimony that makes sense to a student is that you pass your exams. If you come and tell a student, I made a first class GP, you know, I'm a first class student, and I was serving the Lord fervently. They will want to serve the Lord so that they come out with, because what they are trusting God for now, it's not the ability to heal the sick. It's the ability to make what? First class. That's what will make sense to a student at the status quo. Now, there are a lot of things in life, but in that time, in that time of schooling, what makes sense to a student is a testimony of a good grade or good grades. Isn't it? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I just spoke to you guys who are students. Pay attention to your academics. Serve the Lord genuinely. The words of the student are those that say, church, they make people fail. How? The truth is that there's time to do anything on campus outside reading. There's time to do any other thing. Some play football. Am I saying the truth? But they never tell you. Satan will never inspire you to think football makes people fail. Because football is not against him. And football is not, I'm not saying football is of the devil anyways. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But it's not against him directly. Basketball. Even some ladies will play basketball on campus. Don't you see them? You see them going to play basketball. Even if they don't know how to play anything. Some will go and play badminton. The funniest of all are those that now go for parties. Don't you see some students going for parties? They go for parties. In fact, some don't miss any Friday club vigil. Not church vigil, club vigil. They are the ones advising you this your fellowship, not too much. Somebody that went and stayed somewhere throughout the night dancing is advising you. Somebody that plays football every day, when he just drops his lecture notes, straight to the field. His own is even worse because he'll go and shake his body, and when he wants to do TDB, he will sleep through the night. It will be STDB. And your own is church, and you don't go every day, and they want to advise you. In all of these activities I mentioned, the only one that will help your brain to pass the exam is church. Because he will give you perfect peace, those that their heart are what? Stayed upon the Lord. Your mind will be alert. Your mind will be on fire. More like Sophronismus. A sound and excellent mind, like Daniel. You will read anything and understand. If you observe, some of you, if you understand what I'm trying to say, when you pray in tongues, you understand more. But if you are not praying in tongues, you will not know what we are talking about. There are times you just take your Bible, open your mathematics book or accounting book or chemistry book or biology book, and when you begin to read, you just see you are catching everything. You know, recently a scientist wrote jam. A science student, he wrote jam. He said he wants to prove to us student that if he was a science student, he will not be going for lectures. So he wrote jam, government, the tough art course, he picked it. Guess what he got? 360 something. Never went for lectures, just read past questions. 360 something. So he said, this is to prove to you people that if I leave sciences and come to art, I'll set the whole roof on fire. I just said that to you. It's not part of our message. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Just for saying sake. You have what we call Sophronismus. Sound and excellent mind. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I told you Christianity is an agenda. And if you don't understand it, you'll be breaking the rules every time. Every time. You know why I'll close my shop and come and serve God and go and open it when I own it? It's not every day. Once in a week. When you go back, you make money more than everybody. The last 3 hours remaining, people will come and be buying from you. Only you. You see, but if you don't have that expectation, you will not even obey the Lord. So come and open shops. Customers are in the shop. Come and do evangelism. No, we're opening shop. But before, praise Master Jesus. The Lord gave me money and I'm starting a shop. And the Lord gave me instruction to do evangelism. He said, no, the shop is more important than the evangelism. That's shameful. Are you listening to me? It's very shameful. If you do like that, we'll never take the world. All this revival, you are crying for revival. You cannot close shop for 2 hours. We want to see your kingdom. Shut your mouth up. Are you listening to me? You know, you got to. A lot of time Paul spoke to like this to people. If you don't teach people like this, they will not understand. No, you people think that Christ is going like that and how he applies to the world is like that. You don't carry this Christ and enter with Christ inside the world. You just living your life and coming to church, living like this, go back to the world, living like this. It's not possible. You take this kingdom and live your daily life with it. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It controls how you talk. How you make decisions. Are you listening? listening to me? Very important. Do you know why some people are broke? They trust the world system for finances more than kingdom system. Ask some of us who are rich. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Our hope is on Christ. We don't joke with spiritual principles. We've proven it here over and over and over again as leaders that the people who obey kingdom financial principle the most in this church, the people who give the most, are the richest people in this church. Check for anybody that gives very well in this church. I'm not trying to lobby anybody to give it. No. But the Bible says it, and it is true, that givers never lack. You know the people that lack? Those who give and they begin to waver. Are you sure I was supposed to give? The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Unstable in all his ways. And receives what? Nothing from the Lord. I'm not saying give haphazardly. You know what I mean by that? Emotionally, you just sit down. You just carry your body. No, give us inspired by the Spirit and inspired by the Word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. Not just the things of God in church. Even for life, generally. Sometimes you can be walking and the Lord will lead you to give to somebody. Don't you think so? You know, it's so beautiful when you give to somebody and the person tells you, I really needed this, and begins to cry. I've seen that several times. There are days I'm driving, the Lord tells me to pick somebody. I don't even know why I picked the person. The person will just be by the road and I'll stop. Where are you going to? Say, this is where I'm going to. I say, get into the car, let me drop you. And as I'm going there, I just feel like I should give this person the 5,000 that is in my hand rest. And I remove it to give. The man almost started crying. I said, sir, what's wrong? He said, I was going to the hospital actually. I was going to Hemco. You know Hemco Hospital. So I dropped him by the road. But because of that, I think I had to even enter and drop him there. He said he has wasted all his money and he has nothing left. That for me to give him this amount, I really hear God. Then I said, I'm Pastor Simon. He was so shocked. Now he has a stronger testimony that God is real. Because he didn't even know I was a pastor. But he said, I really heard God. It makes a lot of sense. But if you are Akagom, God cannot even lead you in this direction. Where will he start talking from? When your hand is like this, and your whole attention is here, how will you even hear him? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Working with God makes the word really beautiful. Are you listening to me tonight? And it doesn't make sense, but the Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. The Bible says, givers never lack. Luke 24:32. What gets our hearts to be on fire? What sets our hearts on fire? What are the things you are supposed to hear that will cause your hearts to be on fire? Now let's read together. And they said to one another, did not our heart? Are you guys in this church? Can you shout glory everywhere? Shout it again one more time. So let's read. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and why he would open the scripture to? So while he opened the word to them, what happened to their heart? It was burning. Every soul seeks for truth. And whenever you are interfaced with truth, it's more like your heart, you know, likening your heart to home and the truth coming to his house. Because your heart was always designed to walk with truth. The Bible says, for he has set eternity in the hearts of men. So anytime you are interfaced with truth, it's more like welcome home truth. There is nobody who hears truth and rejects it. For nothing can be done against but for truth. So when Jesus began to speak to them, they knew that they were interfacing with truth. What happened to their hearts immediately? It began to burn. There is nobody that can reject Jesus if he's perfectly presented. I've always been saying this. If you perfectly present Jesus and people give you a listening ear, they cannot reject him. He said, if I be lifted up on the cross, in that capacity, I can draw what? All men. He did not say some men. What did he say? All men. There is nobody that can reject Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So now let's look at the transition from internal bond to outer bliss. It is feeling the truth and becoming the truth. More like knowing the truth, and becoming the truth. Internal bond can be likened to knowing the truth. And external bliss can be likened to becoming the truth. As you are hearing the word of God, your heart is getting set on fire. But when you make up your mind to want to become the word of God, you begin to shine for the whole world to see you. Are you listening to me? Very important. So what will set you finally ablaze? Listening to the right information. Hearing the truth of God's word. It will set you on fire. You know, the funniest part of this scripture is that they did not even know that was Jesus. Listen very carefully. They didn't know that was Jesus speaking to them. But when he opened the scriptures to them, what happened? Their hearts were on fire. You see that Jesus came to a people who is the word. He did not say, I'm Jesus. Jesus was breaking scripture himself to people. And their hearts were set on fire. Meaning that what you need to be set on fire is not a physical encounter with Jesus as a person. That doesn't mean when you encounter the word, you are not encountering Jesus. It's not as powerful as or as touching as encountering Jesus personally or physically. It is the same thing. But don't be waiting for Jesus to stand like this and you see him before you say your heart to be set on fire. Because you've heard a lot of people talking like that. No. He is the word. He is one with his word. You can be set ablaze as you keep on meditating on God's word. Are you listening to me? Very important. Never wait for one special experience to be set on fire. We've heard people say things like, you deserve an encounter. You need an encounter to be on fire. It's not true. If that encounter is not word-based, it is useless. Even Jesus himself did not give anybody an encounter to set them on fire. What did he do? He opened the scriptures and their hearts were on fire. Are you listening to me? Very important. Because if we liken... If we say, for instance, that the only way people can be set on fire is through physical encounters, spiritual encounters, I mean, how many people will have the spiritual encounters? These things happens by the will of God. No man can say, I want a spiritual encounter and it happens to him. It's not possible. You can't just sit there and say, everybody in this church, I pray for you, go and see Jesus. I'm just being a coward for a pastor. No. Jesus never said the prescription to be set on fire is that you see me physically. He never said that. He said, I will send the Holy Spirit. It is your advantage that I even go so that he will come. Because starting right here, I am limited to touching everybody at the same time. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But if I come again in another form, Aros Paracletos, another of the same kind, I can be everywhere in everybody at the same time. So at that point, Jesus is, what is he doing by the Holy with the as the Holy Ghost on our inside? He is teaching us his word. And as we get to understand the word, like we just saw here in Luke 24, what happens to us? Our heart is what? Or our hearts are what? Set on fire. And when we begin to respond to that word of God on our inside, what happens? We begin to burn for the world to see. We begin to burn for the world to see. But there are a few challenges. Hallelujah to Jesus. So let's go back to what we're saying in the book of Jeremiah 29. If you observe, Jeremiah said at the end that I could not bear it any longer. I had to spit it out. I'll use that to teach that if you meditate so much on God's word, at the end of everything, the final response will be a manifestation. Jeremiah meditated so much, he couldn't help it. He had to speak it out. If you meditate on God's word so much, the response will be evangelism. The response will be demonstration of the Spirit. The response will be all sorts of manifestation in the physical, pointing that you were meditating on something on the inside of you. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So if you find yourself not evangelizing enough, the word of God is not burning on your inside. If you find yourself not being able to heal the sick, you pray for the sick, they don't get healed, the word of God is not, working on your inside. It's not burning on your inside. If you find out that when you say things, they don't come to pass, it's not burning on your inside. You know, you don't just wake up and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. That's not what gets people healed. There should have been something working on your inside. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Peter says, such as I have, I give unto you. When you meditate so much on God's word, it becomes your own. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Bible said you become like a tree planted by the riverside. You are connected to the source via meditation. When you meditate so much on God's word, you get plugged into God himself. Alright? Such that at any point you find yourself in any situation, what is working on your inside can find expression immediately. You have a connection with the word when you meditate on God's word enough. But if you don't meditate on God's word enough, you can come and say, in the name of Jesus, nothing will happen. Because what you are now is just probably a clanging cymbal. There is no connection. In the name of Jesus, and they beat them up. Can you remember? Those guys? The seven sons of Sceva. When they spoke in the name of Jesus, what happened? They said, whom Paul preaches. The demons beat them up. Are you listening to me? And life is so full of dangerous stuff for you not to be meditating on God's word. Don't just be a mental assenter. One that has a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Are you listening to me tonight? That you are seated in church, you come to church every Sunday, but you don't participate in anything in church. Do you know it's a response to the emptiness of your soul? It's a response. You are respond. You can't just help it. The truth is that no matter what we do, if you don't meditate on the word of God, this is how you always become. It's a response to the emptiness of your soul. When you see people get angry unnecessarily, they get offended. It's just, that's a child of God who just led prayer. That person is full of activity. The person has not engaged the word on their inside. When you see yourself not obeying instruction, you come to church and you like to talk with girls or you like to talk with boys. You are responding to the emptiness of your soul. What was preached was good, though, but you never engaged the word. It ended in church. When you went back to your house, the next thing was Netflix. You never engaged the word. And some people think life is just one thing. You don't play with life. Look at what is happening in Nigeria currently. You don't play with life. If you understand what is happening in this world, you will not be joking. There's a huge fight against Christianity, you don't know. And it's not a fight, if you look at it deeply, it's not a fight against Christianity, it's a fight against your soul. A war against your soul. They want to make sure that you are not acting the way God wants you to act. Why do you think people who marry men are more respected than people who say, no, don't marry men? In several parts of the world now, in Europe, Australia and Canada, Australia just brought out a law that says you cannot preach Jesus publicly. You cannot preach him in Canada. Australia currently now say that a man and a man can give birth to a child. They've discovered it. In all the discovery that sciences can discover, they were thinking, the foolishness of their heart made them to be thinking of, with everything we can do for humanity, doctors will sit down in a lab 24/7 looking for a way that a man and a man can have a child. See the price somebody will pay for such a thing. See the price. And you want to be a doctor for your stomach. Shame on you. You just want to be a doctor to just have food to eat and water to drink. Not kingdom. You two should be making discoveries. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Such that you have an expo to something that can help them succeed. And they meet you and say, sir, we discover you did this. Come and help us with this theory. It will help us to discover how that a man and a man can give birth to a child. And I say, they don't tell you, name your price. And you tell them, nothing can buy me. If it is through me you discover that, then shoot me. You cannot discover it. We are talking about people who will stand up tomorrow and they will tell them, the way you code, we need you to code something, a cartoon, blah, 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 that will make a man and a woman, a man and a man, blah, blah, blah. And you tell them, no, I can't do that. They say, we'll give you $250 billion. Think about that for a moment. Just show us the code. In fact, you don't need to put your name. We'll not say you are the one that gave us $250 billion. What will make you to say, you can't buy me? You cannot. As I said this thing, do you feel okay about it? Or somebody just responded in their heart, it's just to give the code. It's not anything bad. Like somebody asked me one time, Pastor, I have a studio. Can I just create the song, but I'm not part of the song? How? People should help us to answer. How can you create the song and not be part of the song? They just ask me for beats, but I'm not. I will just help them create beats, but I'm not what? There are people like that. The Bible says, avoid all appearances of evil. Every appearance of evil. You know, Christians just like to just take the back. I heard a man talking, just haphazardly, but I learned something from it. He was saying that many years ago he was in, Germany? And there was this lecturer, this professor he had, and he entered his library. I don't know if some of you saw that video. And he saw one book. He saw several books, but he saw a particular one that really interested him, and he was reading it. Read to a very first, and over 2 hours. And the professor just entered and said, no, don't touch that book, it's not made for your kind of people. And he was like, it's not made for certain countries and certain kind of people. But he already saw the expo. How to make sure that our money value is always less. How to make sure that we think in a certain way so that we'll never make progress. They wrote all of those information there. So there are some set of people in this world who control the way we do things here. And you get what I'm trying to say? He mentioned something. He said, as long as we have different ethnic groups, any community has different ethnic groups, they can never be successful. So they use ethnicity and religion to subject people and making sure that their system, their country goes down. Look at it. It's not like it is bad that we have different tribes in Nigeria. But do you know that even though Jesus said, because look at it, it is scriptural what that man said. He said, we have been called out from every tribe, people and what? Nation. By what? The precious blood of Jesus. How many people respond to this call in the spirit? We all cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus until we see who to marry. Then we'll ask the tribe, what tribe are you? But we've been covering ourselves with the blood of Jesus. Meanwhile, the blood of Jesus has helped us, exported us as a people that will not be holding to our culture. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We've been called out from every tribe, people, and nation. But you are asking the tribe, now, Igbo you be. My mother said I should not marry Etilo. My father said I should not marry Igede. My mother said I should not marry this. My father said I should not marry this. That way we can never make progress as a people. We can never make progress as a nation. What is our problem currently in Nigeria? The person ruling is from a certain ethnic group. We have men of God, like when we say 80% of fathers of faith, they are from that certain ethnic group, but they cannot talk. Why? The interest is that person is their tribe. I was speaking with a Yoruba pastor yesterday. So I'm not saying rubbish. He was so angry. He's more angry than me. But this one, now the blood of Jesus has worked on him. That he's the one that initiated the conversation. He said, Pastor, I'm so mad to a point that if they invite me in certain places like that, I will not go. So when I saw it, I was really surprised. Look at it at the very beginning in Genesis 11. Is it Genesis 4 or Genesis 11? The people who were trying to build a tower for themselves, as long as they had one language and understanding, they were able to do it. How did God separate them? Different language.
So you see, politicians too, they have some of this information. They'll go up there. If they see that they are not behaving well, the only way they'll come and cause people to be behaving like foolish people is that they will come and say, "So you want an outside man to come and rule? Yes, you want an able man to come and rule?" They will steer something within us. I will say, no, not evil. You see? We'll be responding in that court. They are using our head. And for the foolish ones that allow them to use religion to distort them, because we can't be part of those kind of people. Are you listening to me this wonderful morning? So see what people are using their knowledge to do. Don't be sleeping as a child of God. If what you are doing with anything God has given you is just to eat food, you have all men most miserable. I'm getting somewhere. You will see it. I have scriptural backup for every statement I'm saying. Everything you know, your whole money is for your stomach. Your everything is just for your body. The Bible says what you sow you reap. If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. If you are really grown in God, you can't be like that. Everything about your life must add up for the kingdom. It must. You are in the kingdom. You are part of the kingdom. Are you listening to me tonight? You can't be living a careless life. Listen to me, everyone. The worst of it is some of you who say, "I don't want to be born again," or "I don't want to be a serious Christian." It's in the Bible here. I'm going to show you. It says, "If you are neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out." I'm talking about some Christians who are lukewarm. That's the context of that scripture. I'm going to get there. Don't worry. He said, "I'll spit you out from my mouth." I'm even going beyond where I'm supposed to be, but let me just get it for the purpose of what I'm doing. You know, it's in the book of Revelation that Jesus was speaking. He was speaking to a church in Laodicea, using the town's local water supply as a metaphor. He was using the town's local water supply as a metaphor for their spiritual state. They didn't have water source. It piped in hot water from a certain place called Hierapolis, which was medicinal, and cold water from Colosse, which was refreshing. By the time the water reached Laodicea, it was lukewarm and foul-tasting. Are you listening? Now, here's a breakdown of what the lukewarm water metaphor means spiritually. The cold and hot. Contrary to popular belief, cold does not necessarily mean atheist or evil. In this context, hot water heals and cold water refreshes. Both are useful. Jesus is saying he wishes the people were one of the other, because both are what? Useful. Actively providing healing or refreshing to the world around them. But if you are just in the middle, are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If you are weak, let's know you are weak and you need help. If you are not weak, are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then be working for God. You can't be a Christian who comes to church just on Sundays. Nothing concerns you with anything that is happening in church. Nothing. You don't know how they clean the church. You don't care about how everything happens, how the sound comes, how the TV comes, how the light comes, how the fueling happens. You don't care about anything. He said, "I'll spit you out." To Jesus, you are useless to his agenda. There are people like that. They won't have Christian names. They come around church. They won't like to come around church just once in a while. See, it's high time you really change. That's a wrong way of living. Are you listening to me? A very wrong way of living. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Whew. So I wrote something called the full cycle. Revelation, conviction, embodiment, and influence. When you hear the truth of God's word, what happens? Your heart begins to burn. And remember, I said that truth is not some fiction, some fairy tales. It is a revelation of Jesus. As Jesus revealed himself, what happened to their heart? It burned. Not one mysticism somewhere. The mystery of that, the mystery, in fact, nothing but the revelation of Jesus. What happened? Their hearts burned. If you want to get the people's heart burning for the Lord, what do you reveal? Jesus Christ. If you reveal any other thing, it's sinking sand. It may sound intelligent and logical, but with time, they will fail. They can't stand the test of time. Only on Jesus will you stand forever, no matter the troubles that come to you from any side of this world. Not any logical, beautiful reasoning. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Because Jesus promised that flood will come in Matthew 7 and Luke 6. He said definitely there will be flood. The flood of life. Not flood, physical flood. The troubles of life, trials and temptation, they will come. But who are the ones that will stand? The ones on Christ Jesus. So, you see, beautiful nonsense. In football, there's what we call beautiful nonsense. I don't know if some of you heard that thing before. You will dribble, dribble, dribble and go and play the thing outside. When your teammate is just by the side to score and you play it outside, we'll not say it is a beautiful nonsense. You know what beautiful nonsense is in Christianity? The mysteries of potters. The mysteries, you know, like someone came to me, he told me, sir, a student in my school complained to me that a young man came and was teaching them how to ascend to the third heavens. That the way the girl is praying, her prayer is within the second heaven. It has not ascended to the third heaven. She needs to burn for it to ascend to the third heavens. And I asked him a question. I said, you people allow teachers to be teaching students the word of God during lecture time? He said, sir, it's not supposed to be like that, but he's a new guy. I said, tell the student that he's a false prophet and she should not listen to him. Now, this is how you get a younger generation confused. I said, call the boy and correct him. He said she is praying from the second heavens. She is not in the third heavens. The Bible says we are seated together with Christ. Where are we seated? In the second heavens? Where are we with Christ? In the heavens of heavens. The third heavens. Why is it difficult to believe? Because you want to, some of you want to believe you are in the third heavens when you wake up and you see candles everywhere like the book of Revelation. These are metaphors. It's a Monera. That's why some people, when they want to design their stage, they will put candles and it looks scary. All of this is, these things are pointers. Go and read the book of Revelation. They represent something. When you know what it represents, why do you need the illustrations? Like I saw somebody's stage many years ago. He drew a beast. A lion with seven heads or something like that. Like it is in the book of Revelation. And I said to him, bro, that's scary. He said, no, it's the book of Revelation. I said, it has a meaning. Do you know the meaning? He said, yes. I said, change that distance. You now know the meaning. It was shown like that to John so that he can understand easily. You have the real understanding. Why are you drawing that? Do you know if God gave you the book of Revelation, some of you, if God calls you for this revelation like it happened to John, if it was you in the Isle of Patmos, not Isle of Patmos, in Makodi, for instance, what he used to illustrate to John, he will not use to illustrate to you. See, now we're talking about cold nor hot. You would have misunderstood it except we told you the origin of that scripture. You see that we're telling you the origin of the scripture. Jesus, God used an event, something happening in their time to explain spiritual lukewarmness to them. Water that they were fetching from. He says, see this water, you first want to see this water. Let me use it to explain something to you. God cannot use that thing to talk to us today. We don't know anything about those two rivers. Rivers that one that brings hot water, one that brings cool water. He will use River Benue to talk to us. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Some people think too deep to their folly. The word of God is near you. God wants you to understand the word of God very well. The Bible speaks about the simplicity of the gospel. Paul said because of the simplicity of the gospel, some people don't want to believe him. They want to hear mysteries and potters. We're telling you what Jesus has done for you. It doesn't make sense. But when you hear the mystery of territorial influence, Gangan, the mystery of the seven virgins. What was the mystery of the seven virgins? You know, the Bible speaks about wise and foolish virgins. Like I was teaching somewhere, I think I taught it here. I said, not every virgin has sense. Now, that doesn't mean that you should not be a virgin. I like balancing it. Because that day I said it, a lot of people shouted, they're trying to mock those people who are virgins. For your case, your sins are forgiven. But they're even better than you. No, but God will use people adequately. Do you get what I'm trying to say? But you would have actually, if you understood God, you would have actually still remained a virgin. You know, I told you a story on campus. They asked me if I was a virgin. I looked at the people like this. I said, why? They said, we are proud virgins. There's a group called Proud Virgins. And we want you to be part of our group. We'll give you a shirt. You'll not be wearing on campus as a proud virgin. I said, I looked at them from a distance. I said, you have mind to wear this shirt and enter BSU. BSU people that can talk anyhow. You see, the pastor, Proud Virgin. That would have been my name. Pastor Proud, Pastor PP. I said to them, brothers and sisters, I love what God is doing with you people, but I'm not going to be part of it. Are you here tonight? Very important. So don't be neither cold nor hot. Let God be able to use you. What God is trying to say there is that there are some people that are in church, he cannot use them. Just in church. Like I was talking to the media yesterday in a meeting. I heard a preaching, a man of God saying he sacked his media team. All of them, he pursued them. I said, this problem is the spirit is in different, most churches. That media team spirit. Satan is attacking the body in the area of media team. They can be very lousy. They can. Say one drank tea and poured on his 3 million system. I'm very sure that's what touched that man of God the most. And you see, look, sir, we are so sorry. Something befall us today. With deep respect and deep sorrow. In the name of Jesus, we want to inform you that we take responsibility. You are not buying the laptop, you are taking responsibility. See, service was going on and it was interrupted. Nobody had the wisdom to say sorry for. He said, what kind of a people? I said, aha. You see, you need to be laying hands on media team every once in a while. You just call them and say, in the name of Jesus, receive sense. Receive sense. Receive sense. They can be lukewarm sometimes and lazy. I was telling Nathaniel yesterday, I said, told them to do some videos recently. And when I saw it, I said, why are you people lazy? See, sorry, sir. The other person that heard the other video, we did not reach him early, blah, 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 blah. In our time, they don't used to give that kind of excuse. You can't tell my spiritual father we did not reach him. You know his house. He will ask you, do you know his house? Say, yes, sir. Did you go to the house? If you even say, I don't have transport, you are finished. He said, what happened to your leg? Why did you not trek? Say, sir, we don't give those kind of excuses. But yesterday I told them, I said, it's well. I didn't know where to start from. These Gen Z people. Hallelujah to Jesus. Don't be lukewarm. Are you listening to me? Be on fire. Jesus stopped creating when he finished. You are not finished making the video, you are sleeping. I think what I will do in the media team is to make sure nobody has a babe or a boyfriend till the media team is stable. Because if you start doing boyfriend and girlfriend, then they will not be serious. They'll be making video and looking at themselves. So that's what I will do. We'll leave them 7 years later, we'll permit them to do anything relationship. Because the word of God needs to go out there. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Look at what is happening. Look at CNN. We are joking here in the kingdom. See CNN. Some of you hate Trump. You don't even know why you hate Trump. It's CNN. Anything they want you to believe, they'll put it up there. You don't know how powerful the media is. They will put forth, they will never give you the full perspective. They will just, he will say something, they will not write something under. If you watch the full video, you'll be so shocked. You know, when Trump came about, how I like Trump is when I saw that, if I don't see that CNN hates something, I'll start finding out why I should like the thing. Because I've known them over the years. When I did my research on the man, I found out this is a beautiful soul. We need such a man. Some of you think leadership is, hello people, how are you? Do you like me? I'm a humble president. What you want down? Do bring your feet, let me lick it. That's what you think leadership is. You see what Shetima told the former VP? He said, that one does not deserve leadership. You should go and sell ice cream. Look at the bold declaration. They are killing people everywhere. You think leadership is somebody that does like this? That's what makes him a leader. They are killing people everywhere. Iran are killing people, creating terrorist groups everywhere. And a man stood up and said, this has to be over. And you want to stand against the man? What will those people understand if not, if what will they understand if it's not Trump? Only Trump can pass a message that they will understand. Look at the people they've killed. Do you know they kill every day? In Iran, this thing you are seeing here, it has been happening there. They kill people every day. They recently killed a fighter for blasphemy. World-known fighter. They killed him for blasphemy. The first pastor in Sudan was killed for being a Christian. In fact, they said the worst is that he now became a pastor. Legally, they went to court. He was guilty. They killed him. A woman was killed for being raped. They say, why will you allow yourself to be raped? And nobody said anything. A man stood up and said, no, I will not allow this thing to continue. They have to stop. They say, no, let the man stop. I was seeing a post recently. They say, there's no Bible scripture that supports war. War? War? Are you joking with us? You the wine God? Thou strengthened my... God that strengthened people's cutlass in Old Testament, you are saying that. In fact, God joined war one time. They were killing children of Israel. He said, you people should come back. He said, okay, let's go again. He didn't say go again. He said, let's go again. When they were going, he was there as backup. More like if you ever found trouble and you had an elder brother. Then after school, they catch you. And your elder brother just show up. And they beat you small. He will not say, slap him back. Slap him again. That was what God did with the children of Israel. The Bible says stones were coming down from heaven against the Philistines. They were just raising their head. They will see stone and see somebody on there. Boy, boy. Where were the stones coming from? Heaven. Meaning God joined the fight. As they were going into, he was going. Was stoning people. I'm saying God is not. It's righteous war. Like what will kill bandits and kill Boko Haram. It's called righteous war. I was asking one of my boys, how many have you killed? He was ashamed. I said, no, it's righteous killing. Some of my friends in the barrack, they'll post some of those. When they will come back and be telling you, boy, I bust the bastard head. In brain commode, puff for my boots. Blah, 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 blah. It's righteous killing. Such people deserve to die. Are you listening to me? Says, Pastor, what are you preaching? Righteous preaching. If these guys know that when they catch them, they will die, they won't be advising themselves. But when they catch them now, they will fly them presidential welcome. That's why they are misbehaving. In this time and season, you must be a Christian all. Imagine what is happening in our nation and you are thinking of the tattoo to put. You are a very unserious Christian. God will spit you out of his mouth. What is happening in our nation now, you are wondering if you should dye the side of your hair. That's your own argument in scripture. What is happening in our nation now, your own is whatever I do in the flesh, does it matter? What if a righteous man dies when he's fornicating? Where will he go to? Have you heard that question before? What, sir, what if a man who is born again was caught fornicating and he dies on the woman? Where will he go to? Are you okay? Where is he? He was fornicating from hell. What happened was that when he wanted to go back, Satan said, no, stay with me. I can't lose you. Stupid question. What if a man was caught committing adultery? Where will he go to? A born again man caught committing adultery. Where will the born again man go? Born again man? We are born of God. 1 John 3:9. Let's read it together. We don't care what the whole world is. If the whole world come here and tell me, I will tell them they should go to hell. It's not true. Whoever has been born of God, for his and he what? Because he has been what? Chakam. Bam. You can't sin if you are born of God. Pastor, why do I sin? You don't understand what it means to be born of God. That's what we are doing, trying to do now. We are trying to teach you the word. The Bible says we've been born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. As you get to understand the word of God, you fulfill what it means to be born again. You become the reality of the new man, the born again man. Very important. Some people think if you do some kind of sins, they are not, you know, until that pastor, let them make your daughter pregnant. Then the brother who did it should come and say, sir, I'm so sorry, but you know, whatever we do in the flesh does not matter. It will matter that day to that pastor. The man of God may matter you. I'm telling you the truth. People think you can bear that doctrine till they sin. Let them sin one kind of sin against you. You will know that that doctrine is rubbish. Let them sin certain kind of sin. Let them steal your whole money. Your 5 million. You just won the contract. You got 5 million. They stole it. The guy now comes later. Sir, I'm very sorry. 3 years ago, I stole your 5 million. But I heard you preaching that whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. That we can still fly, you know, and all that. So I have come to just tell you that I was the one that stole your 5 million. You remember how you sold your car? How your mom died because you could not provide the money for the operation and everything? You stole the 5 million. Well, it does not matter. You're just going to pay me back my 5 million, all right? And still be a Christian. That's what most people will say. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Any act of sin always brings destruction. It brings destruction. If you think the sin is a small sin, it can cause problem. You cheat on your wife or you cheat on your girlfriend. If they catch you, is that not going to be a problem? There's going to be a problem. But meanwhile, God has forgiven your sin. But do you have problem? Will that relationship continue? It will take God's grace for you to continue. Are you all listening to me tonight? So that doctrine is wrong. Glory to God forevermore. Are you here tonight? Very important. You can live above sin. You can reign like the devil never existed. Come back, be on fire. In 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, quench not the spirit. I was going to say again in the book of Leviticus, how that in the Old Testament, God initiates the fire of sacrifice himself. But it takes the priest to always sustain that fire by the sacrifice of the people every time. The people will always bring continual sacrifices. The priest will go remove the ashes, put the sacrifices, and make sure the fire is consistently what? Burning. He set that fire. But for you to be sustained in that fire, you need to stay with the word of God and the spirit every day. Are you listening to me? Else, you'll be cold as a Christian. And we'll see the fruits thereof. When you see somebody not serious with the things of God anymore, the person is cold because he had not been praying. He had not been staying with the Lord. If you find out that you are making wrong decisions, you are being disobedient, we can trace it to you not praying. If you're on fire, you cannot be doing those kind of things. Are you listening to me tonight? Very important. So don't think that you can naturally just sit down and every day of your life be living right. Meanwhile, you are not committing yourself to the ministry of the word and prayer. It is not possible. Of your own, you can do nothing. When you see that any rubbish can enter your mind and prevail, you don't have a secret place. You see that anything Satan wants to do, he can start it through your life. You don't have a secret place. Because these thoughts are initiated by devils. They are in the second heavens. And what they do is that they will just through your soul, you know, initiate wrong thoughts through your soul, because they cannot come physically and do them. For them to see their useless things which are against God in display on the earth, they will just initiate it in your soul. When you do it, you give Satan the glory. But if you have the word of God alive in your spirit, you subject every thought and understand that says what? Raise itself. You subject it. Satan says, okay, I'm praised. Steal that food. And you say, no way. I've been bought with a price. We are here to end you, Satan. You've been thrown out from heaven. We'll end you too on the earth. If it is through people like praise or me as a child of God, you will never be able to permeate through us, Satan. That's how we end the regime of Satan. If Satan cannot flow through you, me, you, and all of us make up the world, we have ended his regime on the earth. So what are we trying to do? We are trying to raise a people and a generation that will end Satan upon the face of the earth. And that's why the Bible says it's a call to inheriting the kingdom. If you are walking in sin, you cannot inherit the kingdom. You are a lawyer. You are a Christian. Beautiful. With time, you started getting lukewarm because you were not praying. You see, why you are not coming to church now is because you are not praying. If you are staying with the word, you want to come to where God's people are. Because your heart will be on fire. You want to obey instructions. But now that you are abstaining, think about it. All you want to become is successful. You are not thinking of marriage. With this lukewarm life, you want to raise children. Before you know, you will raise lukewarm children like yourself. Now see how you are adding to the problem of the world. They are not devoted to the Lord. I'm not trying to be proud. All my children, if you look at me and my wife now, you will know they will be on fire for the Lord. Whether they like it or not, it's the truth. They don't have an option. Is it a coincidence that all the children of Pastor Chris are serving as pastors in his church? Is it a coincidence that all the children of Bishop Oyedepo are serving as pastors in his church? Is it a coincidence that all the children of this great man of God are serving as pastors in their church today? Or serious workers in the church, if not pastors? Is it a coincidence? It is not. If I am born again, my wife is born again, and we love the Lord, we will raise children for the Lord. But if you marry for love's sake, the person does not have vision for God's kingdom. You'll be adding to the problem of the world. I've met people who came from a lot of broken homes. I met one time, he said, sir, my father goes to this church, my mother does not go to church sometimes, blah, 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 blah. I am just finding my way around. That's how I discovered you. I'm so happy I met you. It's not like it's a bad thing that they are meeting me. It's a good thing. But if the parents knew what they were doing, this guy would have been far with God right now. Now, I'm not trying to condemn any parent. They probably don't have the orientation we have today. But you that you have, don't act like them. Make it better. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Make it better. See, a time will come, all of you who are young men, what will matter most to you will be family. Right now you think he's going to sit alone with friends and to play what? And to play PS5. There will be a time that when you get so mature, you just want to see your family, your wife and children doing well. If you know that time will eventually come when you become mature, start prioritizing and learning how to become a family-oriented person right now. Start learning it. Start preparing your life for marriage. You are 25. They say, when do you want to marry? You say, it didn't make me laugh. You are making me laugh, sir. I have never thought about it. At 25? You should be thinking about marriage. Are you listening to me? In fact, be praying about it. Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my children. In the name of Jesus, wherever my wife is, she's doing well. In the name of Jesus, some of you are not praying for your wives. That's why they are suffering. And that's why they will go on dates nonsense. They will break their heart before they come. And you must marry them because you are not praying for them. I was praying for my wife very well. She told me a story that one day one guy nearly kissed her, but it didn't work. I said, it's my prayer. She didn't see it coming. I just brought it out. Yeah, she told me that the guy. And she just said no.
My God.
Yes. But I've been praying for my wife. Lord, cover my wife's mouth with the blood of Jesus. cover that in the blood. I've been speaking words and sending words. I said, if that God kissed you, radosi karish. This is your mouth. I will never see it again the same way. But I'm just joking. But thank God it didn't happen. At least I know this mouth belongs to me forever. It never belonged to anybody else. But you see, if you are not praying, imagine. So there's a pastor, I will still know and I will not choose her. You will not know. You will be devoted to the Lord. You are praying for revival. You are not praying for your wife. Praying for everything. Then one day the Lord will not tell you, hey, meet Anna. She's your wife. You think it's because of anything Anna did? He has seen that Anna has your kind of mind. She'll be able to bear with you. All your bad character, she'll be able to bear it. She's somebody that will fit you. Blah, blah, blah. He said, Hannah is your wife. And you look at Hannah. Hello? And Anna is acting so well in church. I appreciate you, sir. But you don't know where Hannah is coming from. I said, the Lord told me, Hannah. And now you are dating Hannah. You have done engagement. One day you now see that Tito and say, Hannah, can we talk about our past? Hannah will be like, can we just leave that side? All things are God. Say, no, Hannah, let's talk about it. I don't mind. I'm a matured man. I can bear anything. Are you sure? Well, 2012, I had a guy. 2014, we broke up. At the tail of 2014, I had another guy. Anna has mentioned over 3. Your heart is still bouncing. Hannah, these 3 guys, did anything happen? Not exactly. Anna, what do you mean by not exactly? Let's just leave this talk. You see, your heart. And I'm not saying just sit down and say, I'm misbehaving because my husband is not praying for me. Don't be misbehaving. Because let me tell you something. God will not, I'm telling you a fact. God will not see a serious Christian and give him a very funny human being as a wife. He's so faithful. See, the way I serve God, I saw my wife. I see her today as a reward. The way I serve God, I never plan to marry a woman that does not know a man. It was not in my heart. In fact, I'm a man that never planned to ask my wife, how did he go before? I used to tell pastors, I say, it's only a mumu that God will say, that's your wife. And you now say, how did he go before? I will never do that. And I say, one of them, I say, pastor, will you do HIV tests and the rest? I say, of course. Somebody say, pastor, you do that one. No, I should catch it every. As I've tried for the first one, I should not catch it every. I have sense, for goodness sake. If God insists we marry, you can have your room, I have my room. If you are HIV positive, we'll just be greeting. Somebody say, pastor, you sound harsh. Oh, I should sound nice. We should have children. Well, well, well. I'm not discriminating. But you see, I plan that I will never ask those questions. And I always tell pastors, if you want to marry, avoid that question. Just go and do tests. When you are sure of yourself, get married. Don't be asking stupid questions. I heard that you dated one man. How did he go with that man? But if you don't mind, some of you may have large hearts. I don't know. If you don't mind, you can go that route. For me, I never want. In fact, how I knew my wife almost kissed a guy was that she was joking and telling me one time like that. If not, I did not ask her. The guy's name was Beans in English. His name was Beans. I will not say what your name in the other language. I said joking with her. I said, you dated Beans. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Have you been blessed this morning? So be on fire for the Lord. Hold your neighbor's hand, everybody. Make sure you have a. If you are not holding neighbor, you come and hold my hand. Anybody who has no neighbor, I want to invite you to come and hold my hands. We all are. Now look into your neighbor's eye. Say neighbor. Neighbor, neighbor. Is your heart on fire for the Lord? So when last did you pray in the spirit for an hour? And I get the answer. Don't lie, oh, you are in church. Don't lie. All right, let's finish up. Say, neighbor, your sins are forgiven. Now go back. Hear the word. Get consumed by the word. Be set ablaze by the word. And affect your world. In the name of Jesus. Say, neighbor, there are certain friends you are not supposed to have right now. Get plucked out right now. Make that decision today. Say, neighbor, that lady or guy that you are talking to right now, will you marry that person? Did God show you that person? Say, repent now. You are not enjoying. You are setting up yourself for destruction. They will break your heart. For the enemy has come but to steal. I know some people are saying, God forbid I reject her. You are rejecting what has happened. God did not tell you have mine to enter. I remember I was talking to a couple. I said, when did God tell you she was your wife? Sister, does God tell people? I said, hey. Kai, the journey is far. One came to my office and said, sir, we were dating before two of us received Jesus at the same time. What do you think? I said, you are not married, Shebi? He said, yes. What happened was that you were in darkness. And you discovered yourself in darkness. So what you had was not sufficient to find a wife that time. God did not translate the relationship from the kingdom of darkness to light. It was you he translated. Now that you have been translated, you are in a new day. You probably don't belong to each other. Separate yourselves. Your husband may be a pastor. Your wife may be on the street. We don't know who they are. But go separate ways. I'm saying that to you. Some of you who are guests, you are trying to make your boyfriend born again. Stop wasting your time. That's not your husband. For the purpose that you are in church, he is still in the world. I know as I'm saying it, you are finding it difficult to believe. So, are we not supposed to change our men? World changer. Listen, it is God's wisdom that says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. If God said he thinks your man should know Christ before he marries you, what are you saying? You can't be wiser than God. He did not tell you to train your husband. In fact, he said your husband should train you. That's what he said. You want to train your husband to know the Lord. Because you heard stories. Those people, what happened there was just the mercy of God. He has mercy. He will always have mercy on whom he wants to have mercy on. They were married, like Smith Wigglesworth was already married. He was not a serious Christian. His wife was always serious. He never stopped her. One day he got born again through his wife, or serious through his wife. That's not always. In fact, some of them, they died. Some women died before the husband became born again. There are many situations like that. There was a woman that died recently from dunamis. You remember? The husband is in jail, isn't it? He was beating her up. She was bearing it. See the grace that woman had. That woman sang a song till today. We were singing it. Eku eme. Me that don't really sing traditional songs, I used to low-key go and listen to that song. I'll just be driving and you just see me turn to Eku eme. Eku eme, and I'll be doing ebube in my car. You are the living one, no. And she goes back home, they beat her up. Till she died. I believe she's in heaven, but don't, for the purpose of you not getting to heaven before time, don't marry a man that does not know the Lord. The heart of a man without the Lord is desperately wicked. The Bible says, even God is asking you a question. Who can understand it? If God says, who can understand? Is it you that want to understand? Then maybe some lady will say, God, I understand the heart. God asks a question. The heart of a man is desperately wicked. Without God, who can? Because God was wondering, where is this guy going to? There was no end to the level of darkness. Look at what is happening. People that don't know the Lord, you see the rubbish they are bringing. Somebody will be in the lab 2 weeks, 1 year, 3 years. He's trying to discover how a man and a man can reproduce. You are trusting God. God, give me the job. Give me the job. God gave you the job. You quit church. They will subdue you. Some kind of tribulation will come. You'll not be saying we are in the tribulation 7 years. Because why they are trying to take over government and become relevant? You were there just surviving, trying to survive as a Christian. I will get on trying to say, if we do this Christianity like this, we will never rule this world. Now God has shown us how it feels to have a spiritual man up there. Look at how wicked everybody kept quiet to the killing of Christians, especially in Nigeria. In the whole world and in Nigeria, a man stood up and is trying to stop it. You think that man is living for himself? He was a billionaire. Somebody called him a billionaire. He sued the person and won the case. He said, I'm a billionaire. He entered into office as a billionaire. You know, in Nigeria, when you enter office, you come as a billionaire. This one entered as billionaire. He didn't come. He even said, I didn't come for the money. But you see, even Jesus, when he came, the church was against him. That's why if the church is against him today, we don't have a problem. And there's a similarity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't have a problem. They wore white and white that time, they were against him. Any color they wear now, they are against him. We still don't have a problem. If they were against Jesus, they can be against Trump. And somebody said, Pastor, are you preaching politics? No, life, truth. Go back home, know that the entire universe is against you as a believer. The entire universe. That's why Jesus told you that you have entered into a war as a Christian. Didn't we read it here? This is what? War. This is what? War. This is what? He said, if you are not for me, what are you? Let's read that scripture as we stop. I'll finish preaching. Give me that scripture. Let's read together. One, two, read. Again, everybody, watch your neighbor. Everybody, let's read again. One, two, go. If you are not doing anything in this church, you are not in any department, or you are in a department not helping, you are making things worse. Let me tell you something. It's a submission. You see, some of you who, I was telling a friend yesterday, we were discussing it. Why do you think people like us, we love the local church so much, we talk about the local church? You think I would have not been like everybody that would just be everywhere doing programs? But we saw the wisdom in it. You know, there are certain people who just stand up from within the church. They will not say they have a ministry outside the local church. They'll call it like a network and be causing distraction in the body of Christ. Some people are in this church, some are in this church. They will gather in the evening and be praying. And you are fighting your local church. God cannot set up a kingdom against itself. Never be part of such movement. You are in church now, you have one WhatsApp group, they call them Blazing Gems. I'll be blazing sisters. They say we have church prayer by 6 p.m. Blazing sisters have prayer from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Which one will you attend? Say Blazing sisters. God cannot set two kingdoms against themselves. And if you look at the scripture, what did God say he wants to start? Is it not a local church? To build you up. Did he say he will give you a blazing sister leader? That's how you understand this. Like one time I was talking to some people. They say, Pastor, I think if you are a woman, you need a woman. If you are a man, you need a man. I said, where did you see it in the Bible? Is Jesus a woman and a man? Some kind of funny beliefs. A pastor is a pastor generally. Are you listening to me? And most times pastors should marry because there are certain cases especially with the health of women, that they cannot even discuss. So their wife have to do it. Their wives, they have to do it. That's why they advise pastors to marry very, very fast. In fact, when you don't marry as a pastor, they don't ordain you a pastor. The person that ordained me told me that, when are you marrying? When we agreed, he now poured the oil. When that year came, he called me. Called me throughout the year. Sometimes I have to put my phone off because I have to report why I have not married. Till he came and joined the marriage. You people saw him here. He was one that anointed me a pastor. Because there was an agreement. Are you here tonight? So please let the Lord use you. Kunajinako. Let some of you, I'm looking at you, you are looking at me, you are not been coming to church. Let the Lord use you. You know, recently I had some people who have not been coming to church repented, and they were asking me certain powerful questions. I was so happy. If you are not the one that asked me, you have not repented. You too repent. When I saw the question, I was like, God is hearing our prayers. See what is happening. Beautiful questions of repentance. Somebody came to my office and said, Pastor, I never knew I would backslide. How did I backslide? I said, me too, I don't know. How did you backslide? Then I started teaching. I said, you think that sense of arrival, that was the problem. Is it, when a season, I was telling my wife, it's as if all the people I've raised, some of them are calling me this season and trying to repent. You see, called, sir, you remember me? I just want to tell you I've repented. I want to come back home. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what is happening this season? And I think there's one that even went somewhere, they even ordained the person a pastor. So the person left there and came back. And somebody asked me, sir, but the person is already ordained in that place. What will happen to the ministry? I said, I don't care. They knew the person was from a place. Why did they call it the person that ordained the person? If the person was a nail there, they've removed the nail. Let them look for another nail. But let my children come back home. I have no problem with that. Are you listening to me? Sometimes the reason why we don't move is because we know you'll come back. Said, I'm not ready to be serious again. I'm going. I'll be like, let's bet you'll come back. As long as we're committed to pray, you'll find your way back home very, very soon. I am not with some people now. Some people left this church. I told my mother recently, twice I heard a word, so-so person has died. So-so person has died. I woke up and I went to Mama T. I said, call this person and tell her she will die soon. Now, I'm not being a prophet of doom. I said, call her and tell her very fast. The Lord told me twice. I heard it once. I asked a question in the vision. You mentioned this name. Is it true? Yes. I just stood up immediately and I rushed to her room. I said, imagine. Is it Pastor Simon that killed them? No. You probably, you are in a situation that will determine your death very soon. And the Lord is saying, be careful. For instance, now you are talking with a guy. He's inviting you to a hotel or his house. And I come and say, thus says the Lord, I see you there. You're now wondering, but I'm not doing any bad thing. You are talking to a guy, for instance, now. And there's a tendency that he will invite you over because you are in love. What the Lord is trying to tell you right now is that, leave talking to that boy now. Stop talking to that boy. Because he will soon tie you and remove your brain. Have you seen how they tie ladies and remove their private parts and their head? They caught a guy in Abuja carrying somebody's head. So when the Lord comes and speaks like that as a prophet, and I tell you, I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm seeing what I'm telling you. But my point is this, they are misbehaving, yet the Lord is still using us to speak to them. There's somebody that left the church years ago, like 2-3 years ago. His mother, everything, anything that happened, before it happens in the house, I'll call them and tell them. So he said he was praying one day and asking God, God, why are you not showing me as a prophet over the house? Why are you showing Prophet Simon? And I told him, it's because you are not serious with the things of God. You are still stubborn. God does not see you as a faithful vessel. And he was actually stubborn. The stubbornness cost him leaving the church. The day they hit the mom, cutlass on the head. The day it happened, or some diamond before it happened, the Lord has been speaking to me about calling them. I said, God, somebody that have disrespected us, why will I call them? The day I gathered confidence and I called his friend, I said, Pastor Simon, I said, hey, calm down. I am seeing something with so person's mom. He said, sir, I'm rushing to the hospital now. I said, what happened? The thief entered the house, they cut her head, blood was, nobody was in the house. One of the neighbors just went to check us, blah, 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 and she almost died. I said, dear Jesus, I would have spoken up sins. And I said, thus says the Lord, she will recover. She will not die. It is not unto death. Now, imagine. That's why sometimes when people misbehave, we say, you don't know what you are doing. Calm down. You don't know what you are doing. That one man prophesied over a whole city. There was a change. Yet they didn't know they were sleeping. In the middle of the night, the Lord opened his eyes. He saw skeletons everywhere. He says, God, what is the meaning of this? He said, this is the condition of the whole nation of Israel. A whole nation. Ezekiel. I said, God, what do you think about these dry bones? And when God told him, prophesy. When he was done prophesying, the next day, Israel was okay. But the one man was just looking at the whole Israel. What is happening? He prophesied in the middle of the night. Whether you like it or not, God has systems. There are ways things happen. You can't change it. You can't change it. If you are stubborn, it is to your own detriment. We all tell you we are product of men. Nobody can tell you I'm the product of the Holy Spirit. We are all product of other people's work with God. I can boldly tell you I'm a product of my spiritual father's work with God. Whether I like it or not, I can't change it. If I try to want to change it, I miss it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say right now? So be humble. God must use other people to raise you. But if you have pride, you have destroyed yourself. Katrin Kuhlman is the reason why Benny Hinn is Benny Hinn today. Hope you know that. Katrin Kuhlman. The whole world is enjoying the product of a woman. It is your wife that should listen to you. And it is your wife you can control, not a woman. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's only your wife, not a woman. You are a woman and you are talking back to me. Are you okay? Is she your wife? A woman can be your boss. Is that clear? A woman can be your pastor. Is that clear? But the one that is your wife, you can control. Bow your heads and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.